What's going on, everybody? This is the Lion Speaks Podcast, and we are back with another episode of Season 2. All right, I'm your host, Mufasa T. Leon, a.k.a. MTL, a.k.a. King Mufasa. Take your pick, pick your poison, whatever you want. Doesn't matter to me. Roar. All right, so today we're going to talk about racism and the military, how those two coincide. Not necessarily within the military, but how outside the military affects us, right? So stay tuned, hold on, get ready. All right. All right, now we're gonna just jump right into it. So racism exists despite popular belief of people that like to watch Fox News. Unfortunately, racism in America is alive and well. There are people out there that will deny it, deny, because it doesn't affect them directly. So, and then we'll find any kind of way to, whether it's propaganda, whether it's some kind of way to steer your mind away from what's really going on and to focus on things, other things. No one wants to talk about racism. Nobody. Anytime it's brought up, people are afraid, people are not sure what to say. People just try to avoid it, which is part of the problem. Racism in the military, especially. Now, I'm not talking about inside the military. I'm talking about racism towards military members from civilians. That exists. It's alive and well. All right. I know personally because I've experienced it myself. I'm an African American man in the military. I've been in the military for 10 years. It's probably happened to me at least twice. Okay. Someone held their purse on me while I was uniformed before. And you know, I think at that time I was really, really young. I didn't say anything. I kind of kept it to myself. I was like, whatever. I kind of kept it moving, ignorant to how important that is. Because it's not just about being a black person in the military. It's about being an Asian person in the military, an Hispanic person in the military. The military is so diverse. People from all walks of life, different colors and creeds, from all over the world, from every armpit you can think of on this earth, there are people connected. And that's what makes our military the most powerful in the world. It would not be as powerful as it is if it was just white, or just black, or just Asian, or just Hispanic, or just this, or just that. Because we have so many different traditions, cultures, different ways of thinking, different perspectives. That's what makes our military, every branch, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, hell, even Coast Guard, everybody that contributes from a military perspective is to be, you know, praised for the sacrifices that are made with time, with our lives. You know, we go to these places, put ourselves in harm's way to come back to a country, to people that, you know, some people don't even appreciate what we do, you know, or agree. Either way, and you know what, a lot of us we're not looking for a thank you or a handout or anything like that. We just want to make sure everybody's okay. We want to make sure our country's protected and that we have a bed to sleep in when we get back home. That our families are protected. And that everyone's safe. Nobody serves the military just to come back and say, alright, you see what I did? No. With that being said, racism against military personnel. It's going back really far. Back Civil War times. Around that time. Even farther than that. But that's what I'm going to touch on. I know everyone's seen the movie Glory. If not everyone, you know, at some point, elementary school, middle school, high school, whatever, social studies teacher put Glory on everyone's familiar with the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, and everyone thinks that 54th is the very first black group of soldiers that were on the front lines. It's not necessarily true. It depends on what you're talking about specifically. Actually, the first black soldiers to see combat during the preliminary emancipation was actually the first Kansas colored volunteer infantry. I actually did a paper on them. And they're actually the first ones to see combat and fight with white Caucasian soldiers around October 1862. So even around those times, obviously, aside from people in the South who obviously didn't want black people in the military because they wanted them as slaves, there were some people in the North in free states that weren't too comfortable handing a gun to a black person, unsure of what the hell they'll do. Even after the Civil War was already done, the Emancipation Proclamation had been passed and blah, blah, blah. Still, you know, you can fast forward to 1900s, the 40s, even Jim Crow era, you know, the draft, all these different things. You got different black people and brown people getting put in these wars, fight these wars, World War I, II, Cold War, Vietnam, whatever, and come back and face racial discrimination from the Americans that are saying, rooting us on, you know. So it's not something that's it's not something that's foreign to American soil. You know, it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. It doesn't matter what uniform you're wearing. It doesn't matter what flag you're wearing on your uniform. People do not care. If they feel like you're inferior to them, you are inferior to them. And that is very evident in pretty much this article I read, actually. That's what I've been thinking about the last couple of days. And there's a U.S. Air Force member stationed in Pearl Harbor, confronted by a woman. I'm not sure what race the woman is. I'm not sure if she's Caucasian, black, or whatever. Either way, she was confronted. And I'm going to kind of read it for you. So, Fox 13 reported this on August 8th, a couple days ago, literally a few days ago. Alright. A woman confronted an Air Force member outside of Starbucks. Alright, so the Air Force member, I think she's an Air Force first class, Airman first class. She's in Starbucks on the phone waiting for her coffee. Alright, and she was speaking Spanish while she was on the phone. Now, let me stop right there. So, let me paint a picture for you real quick. So you are, and we're gonna take a brief detour to talk about the climate of where we are in society, right? I'm very sympathetic when it comes to the sympathetic and empathetic when it comes to the immigration to immigrants in this country, particularly the Spanish community, right? I have a lot of close friends, people that I consider family that grown up with my whole life, who I really care about, love, and respect, who's these days a victim of these unfortunate circumstances, where all I've seen is them love and represent this country like it's their own. You know, them having no control, but I mean, them coming to America when they're like 5, 6, 7 years old, is because their parents are escaping poverty and crime and, you know, a corrupt cartel or gang violence, whatever it is, they're coming here to survive because they heard we're the land of the free and the home of the brave. So they're coming here so they can get away from Just get away from the hell that they're living in. Okay. And they work hard. You know, I'm not going to go as far as the president to say that they're rapists and murderers. There's citizens here to do the exact same thing. So I'm not going to single them out because it's disingenuous. You know, I'm not going to call somebody from another country a criminal. We got criminals in our own country. That's just like saying terrorism only exists outside of the United States. Well, we keep having mass shootings every year, every month, almost every freaking day. And you can't tell me that ain't domestic terrorism. So let's stop that. So I'm empathetic to their plight. Now, I know the system could use some fixing. I'll leave that to politicians to figure that out. I'm not an expert on that, so I'm not gonna go there. However, just from an emotional standpoint, I think we're starting to see in our society the humanity of people. All right, so picture this. Okay, I'm gonna paint a picture for you. All right, you are Staff Sergeant Jose Ramirez, okay? Or if you're female, you are Rosa Ramirez. I like saying that. I don't know. Who cares? Let me do it. Dang it! All right. So you're overseas. You're doing a tour in Iraq, right? You just risked your life saving your battle buddy, your comrade, your shipmate, whatever. Shipmate because it's not Navy. I did say Staff Sergeant. I digress. You're out there, you're saving your comrades, you risk your life, you take some people out, you come back home to your family, you turn on the TV, alright? Mind you, you've just been gone for 9 months, riding around in a Humvee, whatever. You don't know what the hell's going on, alright? Come back, you turn on the TV, you see President Trump's rally, and you hear him say on television, you see him say on television, what are we going to do with these immigrants? I don't know what we're going to do. And somebody in the crowd says, shoot them, and then you see him laugh at it. Alright, you being Staff Sergeant Ramirez, you remember like, oh, my mother is an illegal immigrant. So he must be referring to my mother. But then again, I'm serving this country. I'm risking my life for this country, only to come back to find that there are people in these rallies that hate people like my mother. Technically hate me because of my blood, because of where I come from. Dang the fact that I'm out here risking my life for these mofos, these ungrateful mofos. You know, dang the fact that I'm sacrificing my time and away from my family, time away from my children, time away from my spouse, time away from whatever my circumstances is back home. Just that sense of home. Sacrificing that to protect the people that love you and hate you, to come back to find that there's more hate than there's love. That there's more get the hell out of my country than there's adoration for. Hey, thank you for your service. Thank you. I've stood in airports seeing people stare at my fellow military members in disgust. Hispanic military members in disgust. Like, ugh, how dare you wear that uniform? Why are you wearing that uniform? Why are you serving in our country? Get out of our country. And I said in season 1, patriotism is subjective. Okay, everybody doesn't have the same sense of patriotism. Everybody has a different definition of what being American is all about. So a lot of people aren't necessarily sympathetic to certain things, whether human or not. And this racism thing is a learned thing. And I wonder at what point, as children, our children exposed to this, to hate someone. So they grow up in their mind thinking it is okay to hate someone. At what point is that introduced to them, that this is the way you treat people? Is it the tiki torch situation? Jews will not replace us? Is it the, you know, running over, killing some woman with a Challenger, or whatever the vehicle was? Like, what, you know, I don't understand. So this illegal immigration thing is such a big deal that it kind of seeps over into the military, because there's a lot of military members who have family members that are immigrants, who are immigrants themselves, still serving, who came here. You know, I know an immigrant from England. I'm not going to say his name, but I asked him, like, hey, what made you want to be in the Navy? And he was like, I was like, how'd you even know? Oh, YouTube, Google. I watch YouTube videos. I was like, really? Yeah, I just want to do it. It doesn't exactly sound like that. I know my English accent sucks. Who cares? It's funny. But now he's serving our country. Got to wear our flag on his shoulder. Fighting for our people. And he's British. Not giving a crap about that. Doing it because he thought that he saw us on YouTube and thought we were heroes. So you think when people see this uniform, they think hero. You think you see this uniform, they think these are people that are going out there and giving their lives for us. You know what I mean? But the commercial, the few, the proud, the Marines. Like, I mean, yes, there's thousands of freaking Armed Forces service members. You know what I mean? But it ain't for everybody. I'll tell you that right now. Not everybody can deal with it, with this stuff. It's easy for some, not easy for others. Depends on who you are as a person. But honestly having to deal with racism while you wear your uniform is distasteful within itself. Speaking of distasteful, so getting back to this article. So this Airman First Class, so she posted on her Facebook, so I'm going to say her name. All right, it's for public consumption. All right, everybody knows who she is because she posted it. She revealed who she was publicly, so you can't sue me. All right, so Airman First Class, Aziara Mercado. All right, so basically, Airman Mercado, right? She's, like I said, she was stationed in Pearl Harbor. She was on the phone waiting for her Starbucks, her drink, and she's talking to family member, friend, whoever on the phone, speaking in Spanish. All right, it's not unusual. People do it all the time. People that aren't even Hispanic speak Spanish on the phone. It's not even nothing to think about, nothing to talk about. It's mind your damn business. She was confronted when she went outside by a woman who told her not to speak Spanish. The woman pretty much said to her, "You shouldn't be speaking Spanish. That's not what that uniform represents. It's distasteful." That's what this woman said to Amber Mercado. And Mercado asked the woman, like, "What do you mean? Distasteful. You speak another language, and that uniform does not represent America." And Mercado pretty much responded, like, you know, "The only distasteful thing here is that you're clueless to your discrimination. So educate yourself and have a nice day." I can't tell you how I would have handled that situation. She's better than me. Maybe I would have walked away. I'm pretty calm. Maybe I would have cursed her out. I don't know. Who knows? Either way, she was wrong. All right. Obviously, it was confirmed by what happened. The owner of that Starbucks. I forgot his name. And it really shocked me when I read this article. she said to the lady, she wears her uniform proudly. You know, and that she was more sad than mad, and above all, disgusted. You know, like, and in closing, she said, if you don't see what's wrong with the story, then you're part of the problem. Hashtag, this is America. All right. Now, I'm pretty sure on the news somewhere, people are picking this thing apart, saying, oh, she's full of it, and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, her Facebook post has already went viral. And she's, you know, she's gotten a lot of, from what I've seen, she's gotten a lot of, I sent her a message myself saying, like, hey, you were brave for what you did, for what you said. Keep wearing your uniform proudly. I stand with you. Alright. Because she's military, and that was wrong of a woman to do that to her. And I mean, can you imagine how embarrassing it is if you're, you know, minding your business and someone tells you not to speak here? Probably your first language tells you, first of all, it's a free country and we have freedom of speech. Who are you to tell somebody not to, what language they can or cannot speak? You know what I mean? That's the thing about free speech in America. It's like people and their standards, people and their so-called patriotism. You know, people want to control what you do, who you, what you do with your life, your language, the choices that you make, but don't want to uphold those same standards when it happens to them. Case in point, when it comes to law enforcement, right, and crime, right, people are so quick, and the court of public opinion is so quick to crucify someone. Until that same person is sitting in that same situation wants all the mercy in the world from everybody else. It's hypocrisy at its finest. You know, and a lot of people are admiring her restraint. You know, and I admire her restraint. You know, because I'm sure she's gotten hateful, negative responses, people calling her weak, or people told her she's breaking military regulations. I don't understand how she's breaking military. I don't know what she did wrong. You know what I mean? But apparently she's Puerto Rican. She's been living in the States the last 7 years. She's been, before she joined the Air Force, she had there's a guy in Michigan, McDonald's, that told her to speak American because this is America. Speak American. What does that even mean? Do you know the English language did not originate in America? Anywho. People, you know, are supporting her. They're sharing their own stories of discrimination. Like, we get discriminated against just like anybody else. It's not a surprise. Like, even if you listen to this podcast, whether you listen to it or not, I don't give a crap. If you listen to this, I'm telling you, it does not matter. Our uniform does not freaking matter. It matters to people it matters to our families. It matters to people that really care, that really, you know, appreciate what we're doing. But to the people out there, they see right through that uniform, and they see the color of our skin. They see the person that's in the uniform, and they hate that person. You know what I mean? Like, rage. Like, how dare, like, we have the audacity to put this uniform on. You know what I mean? If you're so freaking patriotic, why don't you put this uniform on and go out there and let's put a gun in your hand and see how many people you can take down out there in service to your country. See how many people you can protect. See what you do with an IED right in front of you. Hell, can you even make it through boot camp? Can you even make it through SEER? So, I say all that to say this. Racism is real. We know it's real. You know what's real. I know what's real. Are we going to stop kidding ourselves and actually acknowledge it so we can all come together and do something about it? Or are we going to continue to be like this woman and be distasteful and be ignorant to our distastefulness and be ignorant to what we say and do? Why do we feel so superior to everyone? Why do we feel like we're so much better than people? Do you honestly think putting people down makes you better than them? Telling them to get out of your country makes you better than them? Hell, if you hate immigrants so much, you get out of the country. But we owe it to ourselves to educate ourselves. If you don't care about nobody's traditions or cultures, so be it. But if you want respect, if you want dignity, if you want decency from people, you got to give that as well. It doesn't work one way. You know, and people, you know, blame the president all the time. Like, oh, the Donald Trump, he's empowering people to be racist and blah, 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 blah. Look, I'll be honest with you. There's racist people before President Trump, and there's going to be racist people after he's out of the office. He's not a catalyst to this racism crap. In my eyes, because he's not denouncing it as vehemently that as he should be, he's more of an enabler than an empowerer. He's not walking around with a tiki torch or waving a Confederate flag. But he dang sure ain't doing anything about the people that are. So I'm not going to put it all on one man. It's more than him. These are people felt this crap way before he was in office. People felt this crap about people when Obama was in office, before Obama, when Bush was in office, when Clinton was in office, when Bush's daddy was in office, Jimmy Carter, Nixon, definitely Ronald Reagan. It doesn't, like, this whole thing about the president, like, this burns deeper than the president. And these Democrats need to get it together and get off the president is some president stuff and actually focus on freaking problems, or else they gonna lose. Spending all their energy bashing the president, you don't win like that. But let me get out of politics. Racism is real, no matter how you feel. Alright, and I'll leave you with this. If you see something, stand up, say it. Like, screw pulling your phone out just to record a moment, just to show everybody, oh, this person's racist. Why don't you just confront that person or deal with it or figure out a best way to deal with it without your phone, so it's natural for you. You know, so it's natural for you to actually confront a problem rather than trying to get some clout and some fame for sharing something negative. And to all the people out there that act like racism doesn't exist, just because it doesn't happen to you doesn't mean it ain't real. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it ain't real. But why don't you walk in somebody's shoes for once? Put a uniform on for once. How would you feel coming back to this country after you dang near died for this country, only to find out that there are people out there who hate you just because of where you came from and don't feel like you're American enough to wear this uniform? And then you gotta question yourself and ask, what's an American anyway? You tell me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Lion Speaks Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review multimedia outlets like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and others. Until next time, Hakuna Matata.